Hello there. My name is Christine Au, and I am the Western and Midwestern Region Campus Fellow for the United Nations Association USA. Thank you for tuning in to the Global Advocates Podcast, a series created by the Campus Fellows where we speak with organizations and activists working towards achieving one or a few of the Sustainable Development Goals. Today, for episode 3, we're joined by Celeste Kim and Joshua Williams from the Joshua's Heart Foundation, which is a Miami-based youth-run nonprofit fighting global hunger and poverty through the provision of groceries and personal items. Celeste is the Junior Advisory Board Chair, and Joshua is actually the founder and namesake of the foundation. They're both incredibly inspiring young people creating tremendous impact, and we're very excited to have this opportunity to speak with them today. Thank you guys for participating in the Global Advocates podcast. And starting with Celeste, could you all quickly introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hi, my name is Celeste. I'm from Miami, and I'm 16 years old. I'm really glad to be here.
And my name is Joshua Williams. I'm also from Miami, Florida, and I'm a student at NYU, currently studying business and finance.
Very cool, very cool. So I want to start off my questions with Joshua. So you have this incredible story of starting a nonprofit at 4 years old, and you've not only kept up with the organization for over a decade, but you've also seen it grow from strength to strength, even supporting communities overseas like Nigeria and the Philippines. The foundation's website emphasizes how important your youth volunteers are. So I'd like to hear from you why you think harnessing the power of young people is so important to help tackle these huge institutional problems like hunger and poverty.
Of course. I think something that I've seen growing up is the real difference between how people who are probably under the age of like 25 think versus people over the age of 25. I think it just has to do with reality, growing up, adult life, and there's a bunch of factors that probably factor into it. But one thing that I noticed, especially just being very, very young and seeing it for my family as a firsthand example, was the power and the ability that teams and people coming together can, when you come together, what that can do when you have the same goal. If you have the same goal and you have pretty similar means to that goal, a lot of great, amazing things can happen. And when you instill certain values and cultures into it, even better things can happen. And it sounds very simple, but I think the youth perspective on a lot of issues can really show you the core of what it means to be either human or the core of problems. And I think it's sometimes adults frankly complicate things, and adults kids tend to make things too simple. And there's a perfect middle ground in both of those things that can create actual solutions and real change. So bring together both youth advocacy and youth minds with adults who have the resources and the know-how to actually execute has been something that Joshua's Heart has been structured around. And we did it kind of not on purpose initially. It was just me wanting to help out when I was a young kid. And over time, we realized that there's a ton of other kids out there who really want to help out and give back. And that it was a value of not just us, but as a lot of people giving back, kindness, wanting to help out. And if we could be a catalyst or a source or a way that people can come together to give back, especially youth, we wanted to be that. And that's essentially what Joshua's Heart became.
Definitely. I hear you when you talk about like harnessing kind of the idealism and passion of young people. I think you're definitely very right when you say that a lot of young people have this idealism, but it's oftentimes kind of tampered by adults who are very cynical about the real world. So I think obviously the foundation is great in doing what you guys are doing in terms of connecting resources that adults have and the passion of young people. And yeah, really awesome to hear how it's really kind of fueled the work of your organization for so many years. And I do hope that it goes on way into the future. So moving over to Celeste, I'm actually quite curious about your journey with JHF. How did you get involved, and what has been some of the most memorable experiences of either successes or challenges that have defined your career with the organization so far?
Yeah, cool. So my first experience with Joshua's Heart when I was about in like fourth, fifth grade, when my brother's actually good friend was an active volunteer at the foundation and asked us to join for a food collection. But it wasn't really till like middle school that I got really involved, and where I went to Joshua's Heart food pantry with my mom and brother pretty actively to unpack food onto the shelves and distribute to those who came to the pantry on those like various days. And there I met Joshua's grandmother, Miss Peggy, who told me about the Junior Advisory Board and being a member, and that pretty much leads to my position kind of now. Some memorable experiences I had was when I hosted my first mobile distribution. It really felt rewarding and also humbling when my friends and other volunteers came together to unpack and distribute food to those in need. And it was also pretty fun throughout the day, you know, working together to unpack food and distribute food. And it was something valuable to do to help others. And at the end of the day, the drive was actually very successful. Another experience I guess I had was my first actual junior advisory board meeting. I remember like going in, being really nervous and kind of reluctant to go because I knew absolutely nobody. But as the meeting started and the previous chair at the time and the co-chairs, they started talking and everybody was like laughing and they're all like friends, you know. And after everyone like got super involved, I was like, okay, yeah, this is where I want to be. With people who have the same drive to help others, and but they're also friends and truly like a team. And I left feeling extremely glad that I went. Because of the foundation, I learned to understand the meaning, compassion, the greater things in life. And this is just experiences you learn as you get involved.
Awesome. I think it's super cool that you were nervous at first. I think a lot of young people can relate to that. It's intimidating to start being a part of a bigger organization. So the fact that you found friendships and connections and fulfillment through this work, that's absolutely amazing. And you mentioned this junior advisory board, and I also mentioned it in your introduction. Could you tell me more about what role this board performs for the organization, and also what you do as a chair for it?
So as the junior advisory board takes on roles such as being like a consistent and active volunteer, that's kind of how you get your like role in there. They tend to start fundraisers a lot, have meetings to discuss future distributions and events or current topics. I'm talking and informing people at the College Foundation, holding drives ourselves, and as a youth board, we tell our classmates to get them involved. JAG really strives to educate its members on hunger, poverty, and social justice issues and spread awareness. And as chair, I kind of overlook this and get people involved and host my own distributions and events. Try to recruit people and keep people, you know, committed to it and then work towards making something bigger.
Very cool, very cool. So I was looking at the JHF website and particularly the organization's various programs, and I saw that you guys do more than just grocery distribution. You guys also have a backpack distribution program. I'm quite curious, what inspired this program and what do y'all hope to achieve through it?
Of course. So the backpack program, the original backpack program, I forget exactly the details. We started it 10 or 11 years ago, but we modeled it after the backpack program, which is an actual program that was created, I believe, by an educator somewhere in West America. And she wanted to help her students. So she developed a program to give them food over the weekend. A lot of kids are and families, but especially kids that are in low-income schools, often are on reduced meal programs where they get breakfast, lunch, and oftentimes they don't get dinner, but dinner is provided at home if it's possible. But what happens is on the weekends, the kids don't have breakfast, they don't have lunch, and usually there's a lot of times when their parents are working during the weekend as well. So what we try to do and where we try to step in is how can we, and what the program does, I should say, is it steps in on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays and provides food for the kids. We give them a backpack on the Friday at school. We fill it up with two breakfasts, two lunches, snacks, and sometimes if we have extra food or if it's possible, we always try to give out dinner and desserts, etc. And if we have more food, we give it out for the family as well. It was a nice addition to the programs that we have, our distribution programs, so we would add that on to some of our other programs. It was really, really effective. We were able to have reusable bags, for example. When we gave a backpack, they have school supplies now as well. So it changed as well. It was the first time that we did it on the school year. We gave them school supplies so they would have it for the rest of the school year. The next time they brought the backpack, we would give them food. And it was just a really, really cool way to integrate a program into the daily routines of people's lives that needed it, especially. And we're not fully doing the program consistently anymore. We focus a lot more on the pantry, especially during COVID. A lot of demand was more about no contact distributions, figuring out the operational, the display and how we were going to do that. So the backpack program is still there, but it's a little bit in the background right now. But it's definitely one of our favorite programs.
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense, having to kind of make adjustments for COVID. I think it's honestly kind of adorable that you guys were able to kind of do this like spin-off thing to really serve these children in a way that's also kind of subtle. It's like you're giving them a little backpack, and I saw in the description that, oh, they have a reusable backpack, like you mentioned, that they can use for school, which I guess sometimes for like low-income families, even that could be an additional cost that's like difficult. So the fact that you're providing stationery and also meals, like you're hitting so many points for them. I'm sure it means a lot for them, and I'm sure that's been very fulfilling, and I really hope that you guys bring it back in full swing very, very soon. And I'm sure it'll bring a smile to many, many people. But very quickly, kind of moving on to both of you guys, just personally as activists. So both of you are obviously still students, as you've mentioned in your introductions, albeit in different parts of your education journey. Celeste is a high school student, and Joshua, you're in college. So I would like to know what has been the biggest challenge when it comes to balancing your obligations as a student and participating slash running this foundation. In that vein as well, what has been particularly helpful when it comes to overcoming these challenges? And maybe we can start off with Celeste, and then Joshua, you can add on.
So I think because of COVID, I haven't really hit the main struggles of schoolwork and Josh's heart because a lot of things have been online. But I think the biggest challenge is finding days when everyone is available for meetings because school events and exams often tend to prevent certain members or even myself from attending meetings. And some people live like really far, especially depending on your location. Things that always been really helpful is the majority of GEM members and their parents are very dedicated, and planning a way ahead in advance always makes a big difference. I used to go to the pantry after school pretty often to stock the shelves, but that's not really been possible since freshman year because of timing and schoolwork and getting home pretty late as now a high school student. Otherwise, I don't think any of the workload is too intensive and it's all about balance.
For me, especially in high school, there was a huge demand in travel, and I had to travel a lot of weekends to different places in the US, mainly New York or Washington, DC. And it created a huge imbalance in personal life, I think, as well, and me balancing not just schoolwork. So for me, it was my two things, main things were school, trying to figure out what I had to do for school, and then going for Joshua's Heart. So the weekends were dominated by that. But it was a question of how do you also balance your personal life? I actually saw an interview recently. Some CEO was talking, but he was basically like, especially in corporate America, it's important to realize that the business also, you have to take care of all your own demands, and as well as the demands of the business. The business is a life of its own, and especially if you're a part of that organization, whether it's nonprofit or for profit. I want to point out, people don't realize that nonprofit businesses are businesses at their core. I have the same issues of revenue, expenses, dealing with that, balance sheets, whatever it may be. It's the same thing. It's just our goals are a little bit different, and we're not focused necessarily on the bottom line or profits or value creation. We're focused on pretty much giving back and how we can most efficiently give back our dollars that we are, whether we're receiving it, how can we give it back in the most efficient way? What is the best way to do that? How can we help people move into a better situation in their life? And it's very, very important to keep that in mind when we're balancing our own personal life, is how can we have our business, personal life, relationships, and work, and how do you balance all that? I don't have too many tips for it. I think for me, it's just routines and kind of getting in the habit of doing that. And sorry for the noise in the background as well. Sorry.
Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I think both of you touch on both very relatable challenges and also, I guess, very practical advice that it's really just kind of prioritizing and balancing, but also recognizing that you have a personal life and you have relationships outside of your work that you need to balance. I think, Celeste, when you talk about the difficulty of getting people in the same space or like having a common time to meet, definitely relate to that as someone that has been part of various clubs and organizations. It's like, how do you harness all these positive energies when we can't talk, because we can't find a common time to meet? And then Joshua, when you talk about exactly what you said about recognizing that running a nonprofit is more than just kind of sticking with the rhetoric. I'm sure, I mean, you've done this for so long, and now that you're in NYU, I'm sure you're getting a chance to kind of speak with actual professionals and engage with the academia behind running a business. And I think a lot of people underestimate it, which is also kind of why I am so terribly impressed, and well, terrible is a terrible word, but like I'm so incredibly impressed by the fact that you've run such a successful organization. I mean, who can say that? You can. And that's, I think that's awesome. So moving on, I kind of wanted to touch on that Joshua, you mentioned a little bit earlier about cynicism and skepticism. So when young people want to start doing some sort of advocacy, we're often met with this attitude from adults, especially. Have y'all individually like experienced any of these types of pushback before? And if yes, how have you guys overcome it? Joshua, especially since you started so young, I'm quite curious about your experience.
Sure. So for me, and as you said, starting very young, the huge thing was when I was especially 9, 11, 13, I wasn't always dealing with all the business side of things, to be honest. I was dealing a lot more with the marketing, displaying donor relations. And again, I think people don't understand that that is a significant part of the business as well. Businesses have multiple facets and multiple jobs in within the business, and different people are better at different things, and whether it's because they have more skills at it, more time, expertise, and it's important to recognize that. And there's times when I was younger where I didn't probably get the respect or the acknowledgement of what we were doing, and I think a part of it is, no matter what you're doing, if you know what you're focused on, you know the goal, you have a team, especially, it's not, you won't always have a team, but you have to stay focused on that goal, and no matter the adversity or the challenges that come with it, you have to keep pushing forward. And I was very, very blessed, and I'm very, very lucky to have had a family especially that was so supportive of me, my friends that were supportive of me, and a community that really wanted to push this organization forward. I can't understate this enough, is that Joshua's Heart, even if it's named Joshua's Heart, it's a community. It's an organization that is a group of people that have come together to do more than just what we can do individually. It's been, I'm 21 now. I started when I was 4 and a half, so it's been forever. But the time and the energy that we've done in creating a group of people that can really give back and want to give back is what really matters. And yeah, we were met with cynicism and skepticism and pushback. But in the end, you know, we have the work that we're doing. We're helping people. We're really out there in the real world giving back. And it's really, really important to, as youth, to be able to frame what we're doing and what we want to do in a way that adults can understand it. So it's kind of going out of our own point of view and understanding, what do they want? What would they, what do they value almost as adults? And if you think about it, a lot of it is more structured. A lot of it's more reality in terms of money or what are we actually doing, blah, blah, blah. But you have to figure out ways around it. It's all kind of like a big challenge and big game. So you kind of have to figure out what you want, which is, for Josh's Heart, is giving back, is making a change. Who has it? And it's a whole, you know, it's business problems. And sorry, again, a lot of noise. I live in New York City, and it's always like this. It's been really bad recently. But yeah, Celeste, what about you?
So I actually haven't faced any real adversity as a youth member. At least I don't really think. Maybe that's at the time. Maybe that's because past chairs like Joshua and have made such a good example and impression to adults that is passed down. But then again, I haven't been as long involved as long as Joshua and other members. Sometimes, you know, there's those couple parents that when their child doesn't get involved, they place some of the blame on you, when in reality, you know, it's not really like that. But everyone, for the most part, is really respectful and reasonable.
And I think, really quickly, to jump off Celeste's point, I do think that some of our, especially our younger leaders right now in the foundation, have faced our adversity. I think especially when you're in the midst of it, you don't always look at it as adversity. It's more just problems or things that are happening, and you have to just face them. So sometimes I think people take adversity in a negative connotation too negatively. Oftentimes these problems that arise, it actually shows you maybe weaknesses. It shows you things that you have to work on. So I think especially with the new kids, they've done a really good job of not just, I'll be frank here again, when my generation, a lot of the kids that I had initially when we started the foundation were my close friends. So that class of 2018 in high school, when they graduated, we lost a lot of volunteers and we lost a lot of our manpower. When I go back to the foundation and see Celeste and Amog and a bunch of our leaders doing work in the foundation, it's really amazing to see they've also changed it into their own way. I don't know if they realize that either. They they kind of take what we used to do and they've done their own spin on it too. And it's really cool to see that that torch is still going on. And yeah, they're still motivated. They're still doing great, amazing things. And I'm really proud of them every day.
That's absolutely amazing. I think what's very interesting about, I guess, both of your guys' experiences is almost kind of this generational difference as well, Joshua. Like, you started out low-key kind of at a different time. I mean, you started out so young, and I think, like, in the past, people were a lot more, they were a lot more critical of young people. They were a lot more quick to just kind of be like, these teenagers, these kids, they don't know the real world. But increasingly so, as advocates and role models like you, Joshua, and like other like big names like Malala or Greta that have like come out, like I think increasingly so, adults are realizing that we make sense. We're not just a bunch of kids that say that we want to make the world better without a plan. Like, we have a plan. So I think it's great. Like, Joshua, obviously, like, you've set the foundation for people like Celeste to be able to thrive and to be able to show that this is not just a fun club activity. I'm actually making an impact to the community. And I think it's amazing to see how, like, Joshua, you mentioned that Celeste is leading her team and really revamping the organization, or I guess revitalizing it in ways that maybe you didn't expect. And Joshua, like, obviously, like I mentioned, like, you created this platform for her to be able to do that. So kudos to both of you. So kind of in line with what I was mentioning about how, Joshua, you yourself is our role model to people, and I'm sure Celeste, like a lot of your members probably look up to you as a leader. I'm really curious, who are your role models? Who are the people that inspire you and have continued to inspire you along this journey? Celeste, maybe we can start with you.
Celeste, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So definitely role models are obviously Joshua, as it's Joshua's Heart Foundation, which, you know, he started at a small age when he was super young. And it's extremely inspirational to see how a child at like a really small time was created something so big, you know, and something so impactful, and the change of lives of many in our community, like extremely, you know, people like I before I even mention it, they know what Joshua's Heart is and they tell me about it. And I've had people go, oh, I'm going to volunteer here at Joshua's Heart Foundation. I was like, I am too. I'm running it, you know. It's crazy to see how he made such a like huge impact on some people. And you really changed the view of so many people and made a real difference that can't help but inspire youth to make a change. And also his mother, Claudia. I've learned really so much about leadership and responsibility and dedication because of her. Don't think I'd be nearly as far if I didn't have the help of both of them. And I guess in some sense, my brother and other members, because he was extremely dedicated to JAB and drove us the pantry distribution throughout the summer and hosted drive out of school for JAB. And really all the other members, like, you learn something from everybody because everyone is there for the same reason, but also kind of a different reason. But they're all there to make a difference and stand by what Joshua Heart stands for.
Yeah, and then from my perspective, once again, I mentioned it a bit earlier, but I think I was very lucky and blessed to have some very strong people in my life who were very, very encouraging of what I wanted to do, especially entrepreneurially. My family are all entrepreneurs as well. And Joshua's Heart would never exist if I didn't have the feedback or the ability to go to my mom, to my grandma, to my aunts and ask them, you know, frankly, when you were running your own thing, what were these issues? When you have an employee or something, or whatever the issue is, you know, having that feedback was incredibly valuable, and not everybody has it. And my immediate role models were my mom and my grandma and my aunts. They raised me, and I think all the values that I have, or the values that I also put in Joshua's Heart, came from them. And there is no Joshua's Heart without them, first of all. That's first thing. And second thing, on a personal note, I think I've come into college, I think, and talking with Celeste and talking with a lot of our younger leaders, realizing that, and I don't sound, I don't know how this is going to sound, but I think some people do look up to me as somebody in Joshua's Heart, and I don't think as I've always realized that. I think I've always acted just how I want to act and just what I believe should be right. But I think going to college, especially learning a little bit more about not how you present yourself, but the fact that sometimes people do look at you and they may take certain things from each other. And that's just how relationships are. I take things from my friends all the time, and my friends change me and I change my friends. And that's life. So I think it's just important to realize that and understand that the people around you or who you look up to or who you strive to be, whatever it may be, it's important because it will actually change how you think, how you believe, how you behave. And yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
I think that's really cool too. I love to see how both of you kind of mutually inspire each other. And there's almost this like domino effect of inspiration. Like Joshua, you were really inspired by your family. And then you've gone on to inspire so many of the volunteers that have gone through your door as the foundation. And you say that like you don't realize that people are looking at you. And I guess that's just the reality of you just being a genuine, like genuinely humble person that's doing great things. And Celeste, I would say that to you as well. Like I said, I think if I were to interview one of your general members, they probably would be like, oh, I really look up to Celeste. Like, I think she's doing great things for the organization. So I hope you guys acknowledge that you guys were amazing people. And through this conversation, I'm consistently very impressed by both of you. But yeah, moving on to the next question. Celeste, I understand from your bio that you hope to move towards advocacy efforts more related to the environment. So I'm kind of curious, for you, where do you see your journey with the foundation going in the next couple of years, especially because you're kind of moving towards that time, that critical time where you're going into college?
So in the next couple of years, I hope to see my journey when Josh's time grew even more as we lead this type of post-pandemic type of era. You know, I wasn't really around when a lot more members were involved, a lot of projects were happening, and I really want to bring that back. And we're, like, the board currently is trying to work on that. You know, at every experience of Josh's Heart Foundation, I and other people always leave with learning something new, whether it be about, you know, leadership, responsibility, social issues, or just people in general, and with more respect and care for my community. And I think before the foundation, I lacked certain skills, not to sound bad, but I saw my friends and members and volunteers and Claudia, his mom, and Josh himself, you know, make a difference. And I was able to improve on myself. And I know I still have a lot more to learn from Josh's heart, but I plan to take all that I've learned and apply it to the real world and efforts in the future.
So my next question is for Joshua. I would like to know, what are your ambitions for the foundation and what are some key milestones you hope to reach?
Yeah, of course. So Joshua's Heart, when I left for college, a lot of the goals were about sustainability and figuring out how we can make it as sustainable without me being there every day, essentially. And for the most part, we did really well with that. We were able to start hiring full-time employees. We started becoming more structured. But something that was, a wrench in our wheels or whatever the phrase is, but was COVID. And COVID-19 in 2020 was a huge, huge thing for us. First of all, demand for just in terms of people who needed assistance, just general assistance, skyrocketed. You know, I think we were helping anywhere from 50 to 200 families a week. And, you know, when all it was, you know, we were ended up helping, you know, a couple thousand families in a month, in a week. And it was really, really a crazy time. And it was a mixture of both the administration of the foundation and the operations changing, as well as just a ton of support from volunteers who were able to come out and give us assistance. And the reason why I'm trying to prefacing this on your question is I think COVID has kind of shown me and the foundation a little bit more that we need to fully recognize that if we're going to be able to help as many people as we can, we have to be as sustainable and as structured as possible. We have to have a permanent place in our community. And that's something that we're trying to deal with now. It's hard. It's not an easy ambition or task, and figuring out how to reach those milestones, as you said, and figure out those key milestones to reach would be around first of all, we wanted to increase how many families we're helping. That's always been a goal of ours since we started, whether that's weekly distributions, monthly distributions, whatever metric that we're using. We want to increase how many families we're helping. We want to be able to give out healthy, nutritious food, and we want to develop more metrics to actually measure the nutritional values of the food that we're giving out. And also another milestone is just on our volunteer base, probably if we can see some expansion in where we give food as well. We give a lot of food out in South Florida. 5 years ago, 6-7 years ago, we were very mobile, and we still are. I don't want to say that we aren't anymore. But we also had, a greater, maybe international presence. And I think in a good way, we've actually consolidated a lot more of our efforts into where we're headquartered, South Florida and Miami. And we're doing a lot more work in becoming a leader, a permanent leader in Miami. And once we do that, I think we can then restructure again and focus on some international programming. The biggest thing that I want to say for my ambition for the foundation, and something that I learned in school and in college, is it sounds very, I keep cycling back to it, but it's sustainability. If we want to make sure that Joshua's Heart can live for as long as it can and help as many people as it can, those are two very important goals that are constantly clashing and synergetic at the same time. So the goal of the foundation in the future is really sustainability, being able to help as many people as consistently as possible, and really creating life-changing change rather than just, I don't want to say superficial, but we do a lot of immediate help, and we help people who need immediate help now. And that's something that I think is incredibly important. Sometimes people chastise us and say that we're not doing enough to create, you know, bigger change. I'm going to be frank here again. We are a small organization in Miami trying to help people who are in need right now, and that is our goal. A lot of the bigger problems are government problems, are legislative problems that I want to say this, we partner with, for example, for Bread for the World, who focus entirely on legislative change. We work with our senators and our congressmen to promote change. We tell them our issues on our end. But you have to be realistic, I think, in that perspective, and knowing that our place and what we do the best is food delivery services, is being a food pantry, is youth advocacy, and how we can help other organizations that are maybe better equipped to change legislation is true. And sorry, and I'm rambling on a bit here, but I think another part of that is teamwork is incredibly important. I think sometimes organizations get competitive, especially nonprofits, among each other, trying to either fight for funding, which is a reality again, or if we're trying to fight for metrics or whatever. But there's some organizations that do things better than others. They have better expertise in it. And I rather, in my opinion, see it as a cooperation and a partnership. We're all trying to meet the same goal, which is really help people in the end. And if we can work together, and there's many organizations that we work with in South Florida, the Jewish Food Bank, Farm Share, many for-profit companies around the world, international companies, other national organizations, Ashoka, Prudential, Sodesco Foundation, all these foundations that we've really developed bonds across years. So, and again, this goes in sustainability again. I think my ambition for the foundation in the future is really just keep on making change, keep on inspiring, and keep on helping people. And Celeste, do you have any ambitions for the foundation or the Junior Advisor Award?
I think you mostly knocked out of the park with that one. I can't overtop that.
Okay. Spoken like true leaders, and especially Joshua, spoken like a true businessman. I think those NYU classes are definitely making you think in a big way. And I'm sure that you'll take whatever you're learning right now in the classroom to help you develop the foundation to really achieve these ambitions that you've set out for yourself. And my bet is that you're going to achieve it. And I hope you definitely do in the coming years.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. And so finally, for the both of you, to end off the podcast, I'd like to ask, what is one piece of advice you would give to young people who want to start their advocacy journey? Maybe we could start with you, Joshua.
Yeah, sure. Mine's going to be pretty brief, but just start doing something and learn from it. Maintain kindness in your life and in everything you do. I think it's actually helps you in your mental state, and my mental health is much better when I'm not saying completely selfless, but when you think of other people and what they're feeling or what they may be experiencing, what they go through. And you can't always help everybody, but you can at least be kind to people and help a little bit as you can. And if you do that, you learn from your mistakes and you keep growing, I think we'll all be fine in the end, and we just have to be there to support each other. Yeah.
One piece of advice is to know that whatever you do, know you're making that difference, no matter how big or small. You're still making like that change, and you're putting effort into it, and to remain dedicated and involved, and don't be afraid to reach out to those around you for inspiration and help.
Awesome. I think those are beautiful quotes. I think we should make those into graphics that we put onto classrooms. Anyway, thank you guys so much for your time and your insight. This session has been extremely enlightening and inspiring for me, and I'm sure that our listeners will feel the same. So before we end off completely, are there any last things you would like our listeners to know, like any links you would like to direct them to, any social platforms you want them to follow?
First of all, the easiest way to find us is Google us. Just Google joshuashart.org, or that's our URL, is joshuashart.org. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the social media. We're all there. We're all posting. You can see actually what we do. You can see the images of it. You can see me, Celeste, all of our team. Just give us a follow. Message us. We love to talk. And if you have any questions, hit us up with an email or a DM. Celeste, anything from your side?
Definitely follow our socials. We keep really active there. And you can check out our page for the monthly email or paper that one of the girls writes to keep up with what we're doing. And to definitely reach out if you have any questions.
Awesome. I hope that everyone took note of that. So thank you guys so much. And have a great rest of your day.
Thank you as well.
Thank you for having us.